Hey, good people. This is Pam Booker. Welcome, and thank you for joining me on this inaugural launch of Where's Your Tree? This podcast series has been on my mind for some time, thinking about how to be engaged with a different kind of storytelling for myself and that was also dedicated to accessible green storytelling. Yes, the snow caps are melting and polar bears are winding up on our doorsteps. And yes, our footprints are just too big. And yes, climate change is real. It's all a bit overwhelming, isn't it? The challenge then, as I've come to understand it, becomes how to be part of sustaining creative solutions as we move past our fears, which is why I wanted to create a space in which to have these kinds of conversations with you and with folks whose practices remind us that we live in the world as custodians of the planet, of one another, and where creative, sustainable relationships can indeed be a lifestyle. So here we are. In keeping with these explorations, I'll share excerpts from interviews with guests who'll offer a rich array of stories about the ceremonial practices that allow them to flourish and renew. One of those very inspiring conversations comes a little later in the podcast. Over the last several years of cultivating and plodding through my own urban grower's knowledge of trees, plants, herbs, and soil management, better known as dirt, and worms, composting, I've been introduced to an entirely new and amazing community of urban growers. I've participated in workshops to learn about plants, particularly medicinal plants and cooking herbs, and learned tons more from readings that have educated me on wide-ranging green topics and practices. Some include the politics of growing foods, natural medicinal remedies, fake and real climate change arguments, tiny home living, building community among urban gardeners and farmers, and of course, how the concerns for social justice, race, class, and gentrification partners all of these topics. On each episode, then, I'll offer up a few recommended readings or movies or highlights from news articles and related finds that I come across in a list that I'm calling Green Lit that you can download and browse when traveling on your commuter train and subway rides, when you're trying to be mindfully centered at the airport when waiting on those delayed flights. So happy Earth Month, happy Earth Day, happy Poetry Month, all of that good stuff. It's your Earth Day. Happy Earth Day. There's lots of gladness that permeates April. It's a good thing, too, for this month is often cited as among the cruelest by the poet T.S. Eliot. For one thing, there's a whole lot of death and resurrection symbolism and rituals that occur, depending on your belief systems. For another, April is when nature starts to really shed her layers of protection from winter's harshness. But it's a fickle time, nevertheless, with the start of the planting season, where one day it's 83 degrees outside, and the next it's 42 degrees, and it could be June or it could be April. An apt framing situates the month within the extremes of climate change that presents us with perpetual acts of resistance against the backdrop of nature. Like many of you, I'm someone who actively engages with tools, strategies, mediations, and meditations as remedies for our shattered ecosystems in the ongoing pursuit of health and wellness and in generating more ease for my busy, stressed-out days. Somewhere in the midst of these reflective yearnings, I've repeatedly asked myself, what has delivered me to this place of seeking reverence for life and the planet in my relationships? Where and how I live in the world, and in what I find sacred? In other words, it all draws me back to that question, where's your tree? I found myself ruminating on this defining question when I was invited to speak to the graduating students at the Goddard College commencement in the fall of 2015. I pose the question to the students as an instructive metaphor on how to nurture their outrage, their genius, and their convictions. Mind you, it was also the one-year anniversary of the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. During an unusually heightened time of political upheaval and myriad disturbances that continue to haunt us years beyond that tragically defining event, how we tell our stories maps the vast terrain of expression in our quest for, what, justice, citizenship, and even moral responsibility to the planet. And that becomes a model of personal self-care. Here's a short bit of an excerpt from the speech.
What is it that you planted here? We are, after all, breathing air among the country's most vibrant flora, organic foods, and maple-producing trees. Have you learned to grow your tree? To taste of life's sweetness when the bitter no longer satiates your soul? Are you exercising self-care is another necessary question, because as Akisha offered yesterday, self-care is really a revolutionary act. Are you exhausted from loving the difficult, the different, from maintaining peace and cooperative spirit? Do you know the quality of your own mercy and of your neighbor's? Are you planting deeply sustaining roots, or are yours questionably elusive? Are you cultivating divine soil that in toiling becomes vibrant, rich, nutrient? Where's your tree?
Since falling to my tattered edges in the aftermath of that divinely charged moment, I've continued to recover from my own trauma following a horrific car accident only a few months prior to presenting that commencement address. That accident snatched my father's life and a lot of mine. In recalling that difficult experience in which my mother and I were both gracefully spared, my survival still left me barely crawling on the road to physical and emotional reclamation and healing. My body, my spirit, seemingly everything about life as I'd known it felt like a betrayal. It's been an arduous path, brimming with setbacks, misfires, and restarts. More recently, I'm learning to adapt to long-distance caretaking from my elderly mom, herself an alternately fierce and vulnerable survivor over the ensuing years of her recovery. A lot of breathing's been required over this time. Along the way, I realized that I had to begin taking small, deliberate steps and actions toward building for myself a life practice that would be sustainable, focused on healing, forgiveness, love, and that mostly it would be liberating, expecting ease and accepting life's limitations and uncertainties, along with its predisposition for joy, became my go-to tools. This podcast is one of those most deliberate responses. In keeping with this spirit of reclaiming things we value, it's time for what's already become my favorite segment, Green Lit, consisting of intriguing and hopefully instructive books to read, listen to, and media series to watch. I came across the first book on my list, Rooted in the Earth, Reclaiming the African American Environmental Heritage by Diane Glove, when I was looking more closely at intersections of race, culture, and class in environmental studies readings for classes that I teach and for my own pleasure. She offers rare documentation of Black folks as enslaved and free people, and provides well-documented portraits of our historical relationships to the environment as naturalists, growers, inventors, green entrepreneurs, and as conservationists. You'll find her storytelling and resource collections smart, and accessible. The same could be true of the next person on my list, Leah Penniman, a farmer activist educator and the co-founder of Soulfire Farm in upstate New York. She and her family use their sprawling land to not only grow sustainable foods, but as teaching facilities, a sanctuary, and a generative CSA, which means community-supported agriculture program. It's a program which allows small farmers to sell their crops at affordable prices to folks nearby who want to eat healthy, fresh foods that are locally grown. Sometimes these programs operate on a weekly distribution basis, more often monthly. I had the opportunity to visit the farm and help harvest crops with students a few years ago. Her book, Farming While Black, was recently released to much well-deserved acclaim. It's an accessible encyclopedic compendium that's rich and chock full of instructive techniques and guiding principles for aspiring and experienced growers. It's a good read. Mostly her research affirms that many of our most sustainable farming practices originate in African-based growing techniques and applications. Leah's writings and her photographs serve as part teaching manual, part root-wise knowledge sharing, and is a must-read for anyone interested in topics on community building, food justice, eco-activism, and training people of color in farming environments that reflect our urgencies. Next on my list is The Hidden Life of Trees by Peter Wallabin. What an intriguing, accessible read that conveys the author's deep love of woods and forests. His understanding of the emotional science of trees observed while working in forests in Germany proves complex, funny, and poignant in his study of this living species that we take so for granted, when in truth, trees are our most gracious and mysterious earth partners. As one of his reviewers offered of Wallabin's book, it's a powerful reminder to slow down and tune into the language of nature. And finally, the must-see honorable mention for the green lit category is Black Earth Rising, the Netflix series that debuted earlier this season and features Michaela Cole, the creator, comedic star of the hilarious British series Chewing Gum. She plays the role of a 20-something young woman born in Rwanda, adopted by a white British mother and raised in England, when orphaned as a child following the country's years of horrific tribal Holocaust. Memories of her traumatic past are triggered by the news of a change of political leadership in her home country. Michaela's character returns to her homeland to literally dig through the buried truths and lies of her past. And that's for starters. This series is crafted of a demanding, intricately layered story of the emotional fallout of war and colonization in Africa. But it's also entertaining. It's looped with moments of droll British humor, which I really enjoy. And racially, it has a diverse international cast of women actors in particular who reward you with roles so completely different from how we typically see them. Each episode builds methodically on the last, with a bit of a crime mystery vibe that I found absorbing. Black Earth Rising is one of Netflix's most solid new dramas. And now, for the closing portion of the show. In a reflective conversation with Leo Douglas, a farmer, an environmental scholar and son of Jamaica, Leo shares an intimately shaped Caribbean ancestral kinship that's steeped in farming his father's land as a young boy who's returned as more the providential adult son to continue growing his father's legacy with the support of his mother and sister. Here's an excerpt from the conversation that we shared. I'm thrilled to have for my first Where's Your Tree guest, Leo Douglas, a professor of environmental studies and a colleague of mine here in the Global Liberal Studies program at New York University. Welcome, Leo, to Where's Your Tree?
And thank you so much for having me.
Yes. We've just sort of been having our own little private conversation in which you've been sharing with me some of the wonders of your background and the intersections, which, of course, both of us are very interested in. So we're just going to kind of keep this light and open for you to share with listeners in this discussion some of your, I guess you can think of them as personal and global ecologies and how you sustain yourself on this journey, kind of where and when you enter. So let's just kind of start with that. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you again. I'm absolutely delighted to be speaking on this topic, and it's a topic which is near and dear to my own heart. I grew up as the son of a Jamaican farmer in rural countries where there were these rolling hills and forests that was interrupted by agriculture, you know, plots where there were either cabbages or there could have been goats or some other human activity happening. And I was always very interested not only in the farm, but the intersection between the farm, this human-dominated, controlled area, with this forest that neighbored.
And you said your father was a farmer.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what that experience was for you.
You know, it was a fascinating experience because farming is, in many ways, this is small farming, not mechanized farming. So it was dirty. But, you know, when you're a young boy, that can be absolutely fascinating. It was an adventure, you know, and then there were all these interesting things. There was never a dull moment. You know, so I was always interested in the forest, and it was weird because my father would never let me go in the forest on my own.
Ah, okay.
Because he said that the forest was dangerous. Of course, that only made me more interested in going into the forest.
Okay.
You know, there were all these weird plants hanging from the branches and these noises that were coming from the forest that the tropical lizards and insects and making.
Its own little kingdom, right? I've been reading The Hidden Life of Trees.
Mm-hmm.
And he reminds us that, in fact, trees are in constant communication with themselves. So it's no wonder why intuitively parents, and of course we have Hansel and Gretel to contribute to, you know, the mythology of these forests that are foreboding, that can disappear us.
Of course.
But in fact, the complete opposite is true.
Absolutely. But, you know, later I would also recognize how this was a product of the entire colonial process as well. You know, the modern is the cleared land where we have built these structures of lumber and iron and concrete, and it's painted, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And there were these other places that were not that. And those places were wild and dangerous and uncivilized.
Mm-hmm. Much like the Heart of Darkness kind
of motif that we see repeated. Exactly. But I was fascinated by the uncivilized.
Part of it, nevertheless.
And I wanted to know more about it. And that ultimately drove me to pursue this at the university level in Jamaica through a first degree in life sciences, botany and zoology, a double major, eventually through degrees that led me on to study birds that are only found on Jamaica, and which depend on forest.
That is ornithology?
Ornithology.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then on to work with the U.S. government in Jamaica about how people managed their land. Again, it was kind of a second take on my father, so to speak, in terms of how he managed land and what that meant for the environment, for health, for people, for the society.
What a fun, informative exchange we had. My complete interview with Leo is available on my website at pamelabooker.com. There's so much else that he offers in his discussion that I know you'll find as fascinating and informative about his practice and Jamaica's beauty as I did. So please check it out. Well, that's all for this episode. Thanks again for joining me on this journey called Where's Your Tree? I return in May with tributes to and interviews with earth mothers, healers, and roots women. It's going to be fun. Full interviews that I played during this episode are available on my website, pamelabooker.com. Drop a line. Remember to subscribe and share the link with friends. You can also reach me on Instagram and Facebook. In closing, as you move through your days, remember to hug a tree and hug someone you care about. That might even be yourself. Self-care is always a radical act. Ciao, bellas.